Good morning. I think that's loud enough. Yep. Daniel chapter 8. Going with the sermon title, Nobody Gets God's Goat. I need some help, okay? Let's get fired up, okay? And let's say that together, right? Nobody gets God's goat. Now you got to do it. We'll do this all day, okay? Nobody gets God's goat. That's better, okay? We're getting there, right? I'll say nobody, and then you fill in the rest. Nobody. That's pretty good. You know, what does that phrase mean? Get your goat, right? You're kind of angry. Where does that term come from? Where does that term come from? It's a very interesting term, and some want to say that it goes back to horse racing, and that obviously you want your horse to win, right? Because you got money on your horse, you invested in your horse, and goats apparently were a very peaceful presence for the horses, and the enemy, the adversary, the opponent, the competitor, would send someone in the middle of the night and steal the goat. Ergo, the horse would be not at peace. You got his goat. You win the race. Wow. Goats. You know, goats, there's a lot of symbolism in goats. Goats are a little hardier than sheep. They eat pretty much whatever they want to. Very popular in today's world, goat yoga. Okay? I can remember actually back when I used to live in the townhouse, driving through on actually Constitution, and in the new neighborhood, like, you can hire goats to take care of vegetation. And what was so interesting was, it became like a impromptu petting zoo. And seriously, like, I'd be driving down, and there'd be all kinds of cars parked on the side of the road, and they would get out and they would take pictures with the goats. I'm like, wow, like, goats are pretty popular. I can remember a couple years ago, as I was reading students writing about other students and accolades, and we're just gathering information so we can honor these students as they were, you know, celebrating completing the eighth grade and middle school and such. And the word goat just kept coming up. And I just could not understand. I'm just like, I'm behind the times, clearly, you know. And I didn't understand what they meant by goat. And, you know, the term goat, greatest of all time, has really become popular. It, you know, we have to give Muhammad Ali a little bit of credit. You know, he was like, I'm the greatest of all time, you know. He was a pretty humble man, though, Muhammad Ali. I would suggest watching the PBS Ken Burns documentary on Muhammad Ali. Very informative. LL Cool J had an album in 2000 called GOAT, greatest of all time. And of course, you can't think of GOAT without thinking about Tom Brady, right? He's an incredible quarterback. We've got connections, right, to Tom Brady right here. And wow, what a story. Greatest of all time. Nobody gets God's GOAT. And so in Daniel chapter 8, let's jump into Daniel chapter 8. In the third year of King Belshazzar's reign. Now let's stop right there. We haven't even finished the whole verse. The Bible is from beginning to end. Genesis means beginning. Revelation is the end of the world as we know it. It is not chronological or sequential in between. We're in Daniel chapter 8. Belshazzar dies in chapter 5. Okay? This is a good reference if you want to, you can't just go from Genesis to Revelation and think it's from point A to point B chronologically. It is not. And so Belshazzar, the writing on the wall, wasn't long after that he died. So this is the third year of his reign. Chapter 7 was the first year of his reign. A vision appeared to me, Daniel, after the one I had that had appeared to me earlier. That was the one from chapter 7. I saw the vision, and as I watched, I was in the fortress of Susa in the province of Elam. I saw the vision that I was beside the Ulai Canal. I looked up, and there was a ram standing beside the canal. He had two horns. The two horns were long, but one was longer than the other. And the longer horn came up last. I saw the ram charging to the west, the north, and the south. No animal could stand against him, and there was no rescue from his power. He did whatever he wanted and became great. Okay? As I was observing, a male goat, here we go, a male goat appeared coming from the west across the surface of the entire earth without touching the ground. Wow. Man, this goat is just on the move. The goat had a conspicuous horn between his eyes. He came toward the two-horned ram I had seen standing beside the canal and rushed at him with savage fury. I saw him approaching the ram, and he was infuriated with him. He struck the ram, shattering his two horns, and the ram was not strong enough to stand against him. The goat threw him to the ground and trampled him, and there was no one to rescue the ram from his power. Then the male goat became very great, but when he became powerful, the large horn was shattered. Four conspicuous horns came up in its place, pointing towards the four winds of heaven. Now, here's where I'm going to add just a bit of trivia that I got a lot to do today. And I'm going to try to stay focused. And it may not be as hard as I'm shaped, I'm formed. I grew up in baseball, and I'm trying to learn the rules of cricket. They're not rules, they're laws, okay? The laws of cricket. What a confusing game. I don't think today is as hard as that, because what I have to say in the end is simple, that nobody gets God's goat. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the greatest of all time. He is the beginning and the end. Now, I got a lot of history to go over today. And a little tidbit of this shattering ram is I even downloaded a game called Goat or something. And it's this little game, and got this goat running around, and I don't even know what you're supposed to do in the game except run around and lick things and butt things and kick things and ram things. It actually got to the point where it was hurting my wrist. I had to stop playing. The goat It's very clear the goat represents a person by the name of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great he was born in 356 BC, and he died in 323. He died of exhaustion, war wounds, disease, and drunkenness. At the age of 14, he led the left wing of his father's army, King Philip of Macedon. Philippi is named after King Philip of Macedon in Macedonia, as in the treatise of joy we call the Book of Philippians, Paul's letter. So, Alexander the Great took the throne after his father's assassination when he was 20 years old. Alexander the Great is the goat of Daniel chapter 8. The ram with the two horns are those kings of Media and Persia that we have read about recently. And so I want you to think about this. Alexander the Great, when he was young, was trained by Aristotle, one of the greatest philosophers of human history. Alexander the Great conquered the world. He is that goat that, without touching the ground, conquered the world. I want you to think about this. From sea to shining sea, that doesn't even cover the linear miles of Alexander. I want you to think about this. He starts in Greece. He starts in Greece, and he goes through the Med. He conquers Syria. Now, I'm just going to use what we know of in the world today. He goes through Turkey, Syria. You throw in Lebanon if you want to. Palestine, Egypt, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and into India. Do I need to go over that? Did I say Egypt? Oh, yeah, Egypt too. Alexander the Great was a phenomenal person, but he didn't live but to be 33. Some of his greatest accomplishments were military. Actually, I kind of say he's the ancient Blitzkrieg. Blitzkrieg was the German force that just overpowered people in the time of Hitler. His cavalry was just phenomenal. And one thing he did, no man left behind. He didn't live by that philosophy. He left them behind. But he left them behind for a purpose. The wounded would stay and intermarry with the locals so that his culture and his kingdom would then grow. Cities, Philippi, Alexandria. Alexandria, one of the great cities of the ancient world, and even today. One of the greatest libraries of all time, Alexandria. One of the coolest lighthouses of all time, Alexandria. Language. The language of the New Testament. Koine Greek is a result of Alexander's conquest. It became the English of that day. It was in Alexandria where the Old Testament was translated into what we call the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And globalism. was nothing, it's nothing new. That's Alexander the Great. Think about everything he did. It was to create Hellenism, this widespread Greek culture. And so Alexander died in 323. And then after he died, you had those four horns. Now, what do those represent? Well, I'm coming back. Those four horns are the generals that took the place of Alexander. Now, I'm going to read, this will be the first time I've ever read from 1 Maccabees. What in the world is 1 Maccabees? Most of you are saying that. Maccabees, 1 and 2 Maccabees, are books that are not in some Christian canons. And there are other books. This is considered a historical document. And so Maccabees, Mattathias, and his five sons and a grandson, basically, it's called the Maccabean Revolt, back in 167 BC. And so this is where the Jews kind of regain. So I want to go back and I want to read a little bit, and I want to get to this, what I'm calling the Maccabean Revolt, because this is a very important time in the history of Judaism, which leads to Jesus. So after Alexander, son of Philip, here we go. The Macedonian, who came from the land of Kittim, had defeated King Darius of the Persians and the Medes, two horn, ram. He succeeded him as king. He had previously been the king of Greece. He fought many battles, conquered strongholds, and put to death the kings of the earth. He advanced to the ends of the earth and plundered many nations. When the earth became quiet before him, he was exalted, and his heart was lifted up. He gathered a very strong army and ruled over countries, nations, and princes, and they became tributary to him. After he fell sick and perceived that he was dying, he summoned his most honored officers who had been brought up with him from youth, and he divided his kingdom among them while he was still alive. And after Alexander had reigned 12 years, he died. 12 years. Think about that. Think about all that space that he conquered. Then his officers began to rule, each in his own place. They all put on crowns after his death, and so did their descendants after them for many years, and they caused many evils on the earth. From them came forth a sinful root, Antiochus Epiphanes. And that person, Antiochus Epiphanes, is where we get to Maccabees. And so this person, Antiochus, we can see actually in Daniel chapter 8. So I gave you a little bit of the interpretation, and I'm going to jump to verse 22 of Daniel chapter 8. The four horns that took the place of the shattered horn represent four kingdoms, and they will rise from that nation, but without its power. Near the end of the kingdoms, when the rebels have reached the full measure of their sin, an insolent king skilled with intrigue will come to the throne. His power will be great, but it will not be his own. He will cause terrible destruction to succeed whatever he does. He will destroy the powerful along with the holy people. He will cause deceit to prosper through his cunning and by his influence. And in his own mind, he will make himself great. Wow. We do that, don't we? Don't we make ourselves great all the time? In peace, he will destroy many. He will even stand against the prince of princes. But he will be shattered, not by human hands. The vision of the evenings and the mornings that has been told is true. Now you must seal up the vision because it refers to many days in the future. In this next verse, the last verse of chapter 8, it fascinates me. I, Daniel, was overcome and lay sick for days. Then I got up and went about the king's business. I was greatly disturbed by the vision, and I could not understand it. Here we have a man who is 10 times greater, smarter than anybody in the world, who's empowered by God, who lays sick and cannot understand. We have seen Daniel be troubled. We have never seen Daniel not able to understand anything. And I wonder if Daniel not understanding is he sees into the future, because Antiochus Epiphanes, what he does is he goes into the temple, the holy temple, after the exile, where people have been sent back to rebuild God's holy city of Jerusalem and his holy place where he dwells. And he sets up statues and all this Greekified stuff, and he slaughters a pig, the unclean animal, on the altar. That is what creates the Maccabean revolt, that no more, you have crossed the line. And they fight and they take control. And it's actually from descendants of the Maccabees that actually we get Herod the Great, who marries into that family. And you know Herod the Great. He wasn't so great either. He tried to kill Jesus, the greatest of all time. But it wasn't his time, was it? It wasn't his time. Why is Daniel so confused? Maybe he sees into the future and he sees how awful it is. So if you will, jump over to John chapter 11. Chapter 10, excuse me. Nobody gets God's goat. Right? Nobody. Now, you ever heard of Hanukkah? Of course you have. The rededication of the temple is Hanukkah. That's the celebration of Hanukkah. That is the Maccabean revolt. That is taking the temple back. And that's a fascinating story if you want to go study up on that. But look in John chapter 10, verse 14. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep. They know me. As the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them in also. And they will listen to my voice. There will be one flock and one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I am laying down my life so I can take it up again. No one gets God's goat. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. And again, a division broke out, and then they specifically, intentionally were out to get Jesus. Then if you go down, it says, Jesus at the festival of dedication. That's Hanukkah. You know, here's the thing is you know, Jesus never, he is the great I am. He is the greatest of all time. But he says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The disciples argue, who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom? What does Jesus say? You got to be like one of these little children. Jesus, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am lowly and humble. Think about that. If you want to put on the mind of Jesus, as Paul says to the Philippians, you got to humble yourself. You have to serve one another. Jesus says, I have not come to be served, but to serve. And this is I love this part. This really grabbed me. He said, and give my life as a ransom. Doesn't stop there for many. Are you one of the many that need the greatest of all time, Jesus and his blood? Because the blood of bulls and goats ain't gonna cut it. It is only the blood of Jesus that can wash away our sin. If you want to be great, then you gotta get with it and accept Jesus. That's the key. And I love this Hebrews text, chapter 9. Now the Messiah, Jesus, has appeared, high priest of the good things that have come in the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by human hands. He entered the Holy of Holies once and for all, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifers sprinkling on those defiled sanctify the purification of flesh, how much more will the blood of Jesus make you right with God? Nobody gets God's goat. Nobody. Jesus laid his life down as a ransom for many. Are you one? Do you need to make a decision today? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the life of Daniel and his dedication and his perseverance and the wisdom that you had given him. And Lord, we see so many evil things in our world today. But Lord, we know that you are the great I am, and that you can heal our brokenness. Come into our lives collectively and individually. Inspire us to do your word and your will. In your name we pray.